when a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by the way of a parable. The sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. But still other seed fell upon the good soil. And when it grew up, it produced a crop 100-fold. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Now the disciples began questioning him about the meaning of the parable. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now the meaning of the parable is this. Those beside the road, those are the ones who have heard this word, and then the devil comes and takes it away from their hearts that they may not be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who hear, and when they hear, they receive the word with joy. But in times of temptation, they fall away because they have no firm roots. And the ones that fell amongst the thorns, they are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, are choked by the pleasures of this life, by the riches of this life, by the things of this earth. And they bear no fruit to maturity. But the ones who land on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with an honest and a good heart. And they hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance.
This is just one of a handful of parables that Jesus actually interprets for us. And the choir has just sung about us believing in the Word of God. This morning, I want us to talk about what we do with that word that we say we believe. Many of you are farmers. I moved to Northwest Oklahoma and learned about farming because of you. You need to understand something about the parable of the sower and the seed and the soils, because it's about farming. And the way people farmed in Jesus' day is contrary to the way that you farm today. For example, in Jesus' day, what you would do is you would cast seed. You would throw it intentionally. You would scatter it, and it would fall on different kinds of soils. This is why I think the parable might better be called the parable of the soils. Because Jesus is comparing seed to his word. And he is showing how seed falls in different soils as his word falls into the hearts of different kinds of people. Now, I don't know your circumstances this morning. I tried to go around and talk to as many people before the service as possible. Some of you are here and you're really going through a difficult time. I know a few of you that I see this morning, the last year has been extraordinarily tough. Maybe the hardest of your life. Jesus has come to give you his word in order to deliver you. You see, often we think of the word salvation as pertaining only to heaven and the afterlife. But when Jesus spoke of salvation, he spoke of deliverance. And you see in the parable that when the seed fell on the first kind of soil, the hard soil, Jesus says, the devil comes and steals it away, lest that person be delivered. Your King James Version says saved, but it doesn't mean lest that person goes to heaven. It means lest the person hears what Jesus is saying and be delivered. Listen, the only deliverance you and I will ever truly experience is the deliverance that comes from obedience to the word of Christ. You hear him, and then you do what he says. That's real deliverance. Now, before I show you the four different kinds of soil, the four different kinds of people who hear the word of God and how we respond, I want to say just a word to those of us who give the word. Pastor Roy is a wonderful teacher of the word of God. I listened to him twice here while I was gone, and he delivered the word. He threw the seed. In the early service this morning, Matt Miles joined our church. He's the former pastor of First Baptist Church, Stillwater. He's now a businessman, a wonderful minister of the word. He's preaching at Liberty Southern this morning at 11, but he wanted to come to our early service. People like Matt and Roy and me, we throw the seed. But be careful lest you think that the only farmers are professional ones. No, no, no. If you're a mom and you've got kids, you throw the seed too. You're a dad, you have any interest in the spiritual instruction of your children, you throw the word of God. You throw the seed. You cast it. If you're a Sunday school teacher like Barbara Irwin, teaching from Revelation chapter 6 this morning, she casts the seed of the word of God. Let me say a word to all of us who ever communicate wisdom, whoever speak to others about Jesus and what he teaches. First of all, to be a good sower of the word of God, you must know the soil personally. You must know it. You must know where it's hard. You must know where it's soft. You must know where there are rocks. You must know where there are thorns. To be a good farmer, a good sower, to have a harvest in the lives of your kids, you've got to know the soil. I've heard some moms say, you know, I really want to treat all of my children fairly. I want my children to know that they are treated the same, that they are treated equally. Ladies, that's got to be the worst advice you could ever receive or give. Your kids are different. Their hearts are different. And to be a good mom, you've got to know the hearts of your children. You sow the seed with personal knowledge of the people in whom you're sowing the word. That's why the best pastors are those who know their people. It's not those who just stand up and indiscriminately toss the word of God out and see where it lands. No, we know the people who are listening. This morning, we had a couple of homeless men who came to church at 8 o'clock. Listen, when they hear me speak, their hearts are such, their lives are such, their framework is such that they hear differently than the rest of us. I've got to know that. I've got to know that person who's recently gone through a divorce. I've got to know the pain that she feels. And I've got to know where her heart is, because a good sower of the seed of God's word knows the soil personally. It's one of the reasons why it's great to listen to televangelists. But if you really ever want your life changed, you find your spiritual home in a place where somebody's interested in your life. I went out with one of our church members who owns a farm south of town, and he was showing me where the Chisholm Trail went through his farm, and how for years his granddad and then his dad and then he would plow the field, and they could always tell when they came to where the Chisholm Trail runs, because the plow would it would hit something solid. He knew his field. That's what a good sower does. Second, a good sower of the seed of the Word of God will throw the seed intentionally. Not indiscriminately, intentionally. He'll know as he's throwing seed where the hard soil is, and he may avoid it. He knows where there are the thorn bushes, and he won't throw as much seed there. He knows where the good soil is, and he'll pour it on. That's what a good sower does. This is just a good word to those of you who really love people and care for people, maybe somebody within the sphere of your influence, and you know they need the wisdom of God in their marriage. But if their heart's not in it, be very careful that you don't give them more than they can take. You have a son who's moved back home. I mean, his life has just hit the dumps, and he's hard. Be very careful that you don't lecture him with the Word of God. It's what Jesus meant when he said, "Don't throw your pearls before swine." It wasn't a cut. It was simply, don't waste your treasures on those who can't value them. So you throw the seed intentionally. My youngest son, Logan, he has a heart for ministry. He wants to be a preacher. He wants to go to seminary. He wants to learn. I know his heart. Yesterday I called him into my office. Been doing some writing all day. I said, I want to give you a couple of books. I'm going to give you this book. It's a secular book called The Road to Character. I want you to read it. Then I'll talk to you about it. Then I'm going to give you this book by George Ladd on the Kingdom of God. I want you to read it and I'll talk to you about it. If you can answer the questions that I pose, I'll pay you some money. Oh, that got him interested right away. Didn't tell him how much. But I know his heart is open. He wants to learn. And so I want to pour into him. You've got to know the soil and sow the seed intentionally. And then you've got to recognize that when you sow it, the Spirit of God takes the seed that you sow and he produces life. Because the seed is the Word. Jesus said that. Peter said that. Third, when you sow the seed, because you know the soil personally and you throw the seed intentionally, then you've got to grow the fruit gently. You've got to grow it gently. It makes absolutely no sense to me how a street preacher today could go out onto a street corner and yell and scream the Word of God, call people to repentance, and quote Scripture, and think that people will actually respond. Doesn't happen that way. No, when the seed is taken by the Spirit and fruit begins, when a changed life starts, the person who has sown the seed, the farmer, the spiritual farmer, must grow the fruit gently. Be patient. Hold it up. Don't ridicule. Not all fruit trees grow the same amount of fruit. Not all seasons of fruit will be beautiful and sweet. Grow the fruit gently. There's no reason under the sun a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, one who teaches the words of Jesus, should ever talk harshly to those who are hearing the word. No reason under the sun. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Jesus cursed the barren fig tree, did he not? Didn't the Old Testament prophets, didn't they curse Judah? Didn't they curse Israel? Yeah, in the new covenant, though, in the parables that Jesus taught, he simply said, throw the seed. There's different kinds of soils. Let the fruit go. Let it grow. Bear it gently. There'll be some weeds that grow among the fruit. But let the weeds grow. Only the master gardener has the power and authority to curse the barren fruit tree. But for some reason in evangelical Christianity, preachers have taken it upon ourselves to curse those who aren't bearing fruit the way we think they ought to. I don't see that in the Word of God. I just don't. A good spiritual farmer will know his soils, throw the seed intentionally, and grow the fruit gently. But that's not the point of the parable. That's a freebie for those of us who teach the Word of God. I want to spend the next 10 minutes in closing by looking at the meaning of this parable. Well, you see, there are four kinds of soils, meaning there are four kinds of people who listen to the Word of God and respond to it. It's more than just gathering on a Sunday morning and listening. It's when you're in your truck, like Bob and Kathy Kaiser, and they drive down the highway and they listen to the Word of God being taught on CD or on the radio. It's when you get up in the morning with a cup of coffee and you open up the Word of God and you begin to read. Or you come on a Wednesday night, or you sit in a Sunday school class and you listen to the teacher. It's whenever the seed is sown. This parable speaks of the thrower and the receiver. Jesus is the one in the primary context who is teaching God's ways. And he is saying to those who are listening, be careful that you hear. And then he describes the four kinds of hearts in those who hear the Word of God. Number one, he says there is the heart that is terribly hard. Now, I would imagine in a crowd this size, there may be one or two like this. But usually if you come to corporate worship on a Sunday to listen to the teaching of the Word of God, your heart's not hard. But you know somebody who has a hard heart. You love somebody whose heart is hard. And what he says is, that when the Word of God is thrown, when it's spoken, when you hear what Jesus says, and somebody's listening and their heart is hard, their heart is like a pathway. The seed lands on it and it bounces and just sits, easily seen and easily snatched. Because Jesus says, then come the devil. About 15 years ago, I preached a message on this very phrase from the King James Version. Then cometh the devil. I remember our friend Louis Zamperini, when he spoke here, he talked about how he came to know the Lord. He came back from the war. He'd been a prisoner of war, beaten, tortured. And he turned to alcohol to alleviate the nightmares that he had of the bird. You remember that? The Japanese prisoner of war commander who would intentionally beat Louis Zamperini. When Zamperini got back to the U.S. after the war, after being released, he would have nightmares. Every night he'd have nightmares, so he turned to alcohol. He turned to affairs. He turned to all kinds of things to soothe the pain within his heart. And his wife was leaving him. And then she got saved. She asked Louis Zamperini to go with her to the famous Billy Graham crusade of 1950. And Louis Zamperini said, no, I'm not going to go with you. She begged him. Finally, he went. And Louis said that when Billy Graham began to speak the Word of God, his heart was so hard that every single distraction in that tent was magnified in his mind. Then cometh the devil. You love somebody who has a hard heart. The word of God comes, just bounces off, and then it's snatched away. Thankfully, the Spirit of God did some tilling in Louis Zamperini's heart, and he came back night after night after night, and finally, God had tilled that hard heart of Louis Zamperini's enough that the seed became implanted, and he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you remember or not, but Louis told us that the day he received Jesus Christ, he went home, and that night he didn't have a nightmare of the bird. And from that night until the night that he died, Angelina Jolie was in the hospital room. They had just shown him the movie of his life, Unbroken. He never again had a dream of the bird. You see, the seed produces deliverance. There's a couple in our church, delightful couple, both the man and the woman, but the woman had an affair. She left her husband. She has since repented of it, but she's told her husband she doesn't love him. She's gone to live with her parents. And the husband really wants to work on the marriage. And so I ask him to ask his wife to come to the marriage conference that begins tonight. And he called her and said, "Sweetheart, I'd love for you to come. You won't be singled out. There'll be a big group there. Nobody's going to embarrass you." And because she lives away, I personally offered to pay for her gas. They're struggling financially. So I said, "I'll pay for her gas to come." He told me that she said no, quickly, no, no. And he said to me, "Wade, she's hard." Yeah. This term, hard, was used by Jesus when he spoke of salt. And you remember, I've told you this before, that Jesus said, "You are the salt of the world," speaking of his followers. However, if salt loses its savor or its power, what is it good for? What's the answer to that? What happens if salt no longer gives taste to food? What happens if salt is no longer a preservative? What happens? The salt's worthless. That's what Jesus said. If salt loses its savor and its power, it's worthless. It's good for nothing except to be thrown out onto the path, to make the path hard. You see, farmers who needed a path from the outhouse to the house or from the fields to the house, they would take salt that lost its savor and they would throw it onto a path and it would be a poison and nothing would grow and the path would become extremely hard. Paul uses this same analogy in the book of 1 Corinthians when he says, "The natural person, the person without the Spirit of God, cannot receive the Word of God because it is foolish to him." And the word that he uses for foolish is the word moros, which is the English word that we get moronic from. And it's the same Greek word used of salt that has lost its savor and is good for nothing but to make a path hard. Hard-hearted people are those who think the word of God is moronic. You can't do nothing for them. The devil snatches life away. So if you love somebody whose heart is hard, just understand you can only pray for them. The more you try to penetrate wisdom into them, the more they resist. The more you try to tell them what Jesus says, the more they think you're a moron. All you can do is love and pray. because hard-hearted people need the till of heaven. Second, Jesus says there's a person who is temporarily happy when they hear the word. This is the person who's got a heart that is like rocky soil. The word of God hits them and they think, wow, that makes sense. Wow, I understand. Wow, I'm going to do that. And they're happy about it. But listen to what Jesus says. Because their heart is rocky, the seed has fallen onto a spot where it can't take root. And even though rain from heaven falls, rain, of course, is a picture of the mercy of God. Even though the mercy of God falls upon them and they've heard the word of God and temporarily they're happy about it, the moment they walk out, there is no root. There's no change. There's no fruit. Because there's nothing in which the seed can plant. These are folks who go to church or Bible study or listen to someone talk, and they always have a smile on their face and they're always happy on the outside, but on the inside, what Jesus says really makes no difference. Then the third soil, it's the kind of person who's tragically hindered. Jesus calls it the soil with thorny bushes. It's when the farmer goes out and he casts the seed and it lands on some soil where some thorns are growing, some bushes with thorns. And what happens is the seed takes root and there's a plant that begins to grow, but the bush with the thorns suffocate the growth. Now, we wouldn't know what Jesus meant if he didn't tell us. It's that person who hears the word of God and then walks out, and the cares of this world, the worry about riches, the worry about retirement, the worry about business, the worry about what people think of me, choke out life. We're tragically hindered. Now, I want you to notice that all three of these soils never produce any fruit. You may feel that you are one of these three kinds of persons at different times in your life, but I got good news for you. You're not if you know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, the Spirit of God has prepared your heart, and your heart has become tender and healthy. Now, it doesn't mean that there are not problems when the Word of God is spoken. It doesn't mean that the devil doesn't attack you and try to snatch away the seed. It doesn't mean that the cares of this world don't seem to suffocate you. No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is this: the Spirit of God in His love for you has changed your heart. And now you're the kind of person who hears the Word of God and you say, I want it. I want it. Take root. Come, Lord Jesus, change me. And the seed begins to grow into a plant. And the plant bears fruit. And by the way, the people of God never bear fruit the same. Some people's fruit is sweeter. Others is more beautiful on the outside. But all the people of God have fruit. In the parallel passage in the book of Matthew where this parable is taught, the scripture describes different levels of fruit in God's people. My point to you is simply this: if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's the good news. He has changed your heart. He has taken out the rocks. He has softened the hardness. He has cut down the thorny bushes, and he is preparing you to receive his word. This is how you know Jesus, because you listen to him. You listen to him. Doesn't mean there's not a struggle. It just means he's your Lord. He speaks. You hear. Is that you? If it is, you come to a marriage conference like tonight? Whoa! Whoa! God, you are speaking. It'll change your life. It'll deliver you from your struggles.